Currently, he serves as a Bible teacher, writer, and theological reviewer for Our Daily Bread Ministries. He and his wife, Lei King, have 3 adult daughters. And today, he will be speaking on the topic, I am the Bread of Life, from the book of John, chapter 6, verses 35 to 40. Without further ado, Pastor Sim, please.
Good morning. Can you hear me okay? I take it that you can hear me. Now, I want to thank Pastor John for the invitation to minister the word this morning. This COVID-19 situation has made us do church very differently. Instead of meeting in one location, we are meeting online from wherever we are at this morning. And we can be thankful for technology that has made this worship service possible. We have 3 more Sundays to go before the circuit breaker measures are lifted. Let's continue to pray for our leaders, political leaders, as they make decisions to bring life back to normalcy. But it will take a longer while for religious meetings to go back to normalcy. So we need to pray that we can do church the normal way as soon as possible, so that we can meet, worship, and fellowship physically, face-to-face, in one single location. Now, the COVID-19 situation has put us in uncharted waters. But the psalmist David redirects our attention from our situation to our shepherd. And the shepherd, our shepherd, leads us to quiet waters. This morning, as we look at our Bible passage in John chapter 6, I want to ask you to think about what a selfie is. I think we all know what a selfie is. Oxford Dictionary designated this word, selfie, to be the word of the year for 2013. First, this word was first coined and used by an Australian about 18 years ago in 2002. And it is now a word that we all understand it because we use it in social media so often. A selfie is a photograph that one has taken of oneself. And then, having taken that photograph, you upload it on a social media platform for your friends, for the public to view. And therefore, a selfie is, in a sense, a self-taken photograph which you make public for people to see. Now, for today and for the following 2 Sundays, I want to look at the I am sayings of Jesus. And there are actually 7 I am sayings only in the Gospel of John. I'm the bread of life. I'm the light of the world. I'm the gate for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I'm the resurrection and the life. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. I am the true vine. For my time with you today and the next 2 Sundays, I want to deal with the first 3 I am sayings. Now, as we look at these 3, as we look at the I am sayings of Jesus, Jesus may not have used the word selfie, but all these sayings of Jesus are actually snapshots of himself. In a way, Jesus takes a photo of himself and then send it to us. Because these 7 I am sayings of Jesus reveal to us who Jesus is. It is a self-portrait, a self-revelation of our Lord Jesus Christ. This morning, I want to talk about food, which is actually, you and I know that it is our favorite pastime. We love to eat. We love our food. And we all know the importance of food. Food satisfies hunger. Food gives us nourishment. Food enables us to survive. And for many of us, food gives us enjoyment. And as we come to the Gospel of John, chapter 6, you realize that John chapter 6 is about food. And I think we can identify quite a bit with food here. As we look at John chapter 6, verse 1 to 14, John tells us of the miracle of Jesus feeding 5,000 men with five small loaves, five small barley loaves, and two small fish. That's what we read in John chapter 6, verse 9. Now, scholars estimate that Jesus fed more than 20,000 people. If we include the women, and assuming a two-child policy, we would come close to 20,000 people in this miracle. And so in terms of size, this miracle is the biggest of Jesus' miracles. And today we want to continue the story from the feeding of 5,000 men. Now, because of this miracle, the people wanted to make Jesus king. We read that in verse 15 of John 6. But Jesus would not be made king, and so therefore he withdrew to the mountain to pray. The next day, the crowd that had eaten the bread kept following Jesus. And Jesus used this miracle of these five small barley loaves and two small fish to teach a great spiritual truth about himself. In verse 35 of John chapter 6, we read, "Then Jesus declared, 'I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty.'" How did the crowd respond to Jesus' claim that he is the bread of life? We look at verse 41 and we read that at this time, the Jews there began to grumble about him because he said, "I am the bread that came from heaven." In essence, they are saying this: "Jesus, we know who you are." We read in verse 42, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? We know your parents. We know who you are. You are like us. We are humans. So are you. How can then you say, 'I came down from heaven'?" Jesus said, "He is the bread, not one times, but seven times in this chapter, John chapter 6. Jesus said that he is the bread seven times in this chapter. If you look at verse 35, he says, "I'm the bread of life." In verse 41, he says, "I'm the bread that came from heaven." And again, in verse 48, he emphasized the same truth: "I am the bread of life." And again, in verse 50, he repeats what he said in verse 41. "Here is the bread that comes down from heaven." In verse 51 again, "I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever." And he explained, "This bread is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world." Why did Jesus say, "I'm the bread of life" so many times? And what did Jesus mean when he says that this is the bread is my life, my flesh, which I give for the life of the world. Now the crowd that had been pursuing Jesus, the crowd had looked for Jesus because they wanted another meal. Jesus told them in verse 26 of John 6, in John 6, 26, he says this, "Verily, very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and you have your fill." Basically, the crowd once is thinking this, if Jesus can give food once, if Jesus can give them free food once, Jesus can give them food a second time. And now as they pursue Jesus, Jesus understood that they were looking for something material, physical food, while Jesus is talking about food at a different level. Now, the question we have to ask ourselves is this, as we look at the crowd, the multitude pursuing Jesus, coming after Jesus, following Jesus, we need to ask ourselves a basic question too. Why are you following Jesus? Why are you pursuing Jesus? Why have you come to Jesus? Is it because Jesus can give us all that we want and all that we need? Is it because Jesus can give us the basic essentials of life? And more than essentials of life, we want our wants to be met by Jesus as well. Do we pursue Jesus? Do we come to Jesus? Because we know that Jesus can bless us materially. The people came to Jesus to ask for the basic needs of life. Bread. They wanted food. They wanted sustenance. The question, therefore, we ask ourselves as we look at Jesus as the bread of life is this. What are the essentials of my life? Essentials that I would want Jesus to fulfill. And are these the essentials why we come to Jesus? What is it that I must have in order to live life? What is it that I must have in order to live life? To have a meaningful, to have a purposeful life, to have a happy, and to have a satisfied life. I think being cooped up at home the last 1.5 months or so have made us realize and have us reflect on what we think is important in life. What is it that we can do without? Is it because, can we do without exercise? Can we do without food? What is it that in those 1.5 months you find yourself coming to do time and time again, because it is something very essential to life? It is said that we need many things for a successful life. Many years ago, we talked about the 5 C's of a successful life: cash, car, credit card, condo, country club. Maybe not country club anymore, because I think many people are finding that a liability rather than an asset. But you and I know that having all these things in life were not going to satisfy us, because we know that our needs are not physical. Our needs are spiritual. No matter how many C's we accumulate, no matter how many material essentials that we consider that we need, we will never be satisfied with anything in this world. Maybe it's good as we think about Jesus as the bread of life to ask about, to ask how many seeds that we have today. Some of us have a lot of seeds cash in our banks. Some of us has a lot of credit cards. Some of us live in a condo. And in any case, we all have a house over our head, a roof over our head. How many seeds do you need before you say, I am truly satisfied? I have lived a purposeful, I have lived a meaningful life. And I pray that you will come to this one conclusion, that no matter how many seeds you have, you will never be satisfied until you have that one important seed, Christ Himself. And I pray that you will realize that no matter how many seeds you have or you think you need, you will come to realize that you need only one seed, Christ. When the people came to Jesus for food, Jesus did not give them what they asked for. I'm very sure that Jesus could have fed them a second time, a third time, and many more times. And indeed, Jesus, the gospel record tells us that Jesus fed another 4,000 in another different situation. But no matter how much food we eat today, we will be hungry again in about 6 to 8 hours time, isn't it? Many of you woke up this morning at your breakfast, and soon you'll be thinking about what to eat for lunch. And Jesus gave them spiritual food. Jesus offered them what they really needed, not what they want. And Jesus offered them the ultimate food. He offered Himself to them. And that's why He said in verse 35 of John 6, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Jesus alone can satisfy our hunger for purpose in life, our hunger and our thirst for meaning in life. And Jesus can meet those basic needs of our life. I am the bread of life. The people of Jesus, they understood that Jesus is saying, I am the main meal. I am the one who will satisfy. In those days, bread is the staple food. Just as much as today, rice is our staple food that sustains us. Jesus is the rice of life, if it is to be said in a Chinese context. We want to live a satisfied life. We want to have meaning and purpose in life. And so therefore, as we look at this claim of Jesus, this self-portrait of Jesus, this selfie that Jesus took of Himself and sent it to us this morning, I'm the bread of life. What is it that makes for a satisfying life? What is it about Jesus that makes Him the rise of our life? I want to suggest that three things about Jesus being the main meal of our life that will satisfy us. Things that we can do, the implications of Jesus being the bread of life. The three essentials of Jesus. Me understanding what Jesus is the bread of life for me means. First of all, I need to know God's word. We look at Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1. in Deuteronomy chapter 8, just as Moses prepares the new generation of the Israelites to enter the promised land, he gave them that one principle that will help them live life in the promised land, in the new land. And this has got nothing to do with how abundant the promised land will supply them. After all, the land of Canaan is a land of, full of milk and honey. But Moses did not point to the physical food, but he pointed to the spiritual food that satisfies. Be careful in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 1, to follow every command I'm giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter the land the Lord promised on oath to your ancestor. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you will keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger, and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestor had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. As I said, you must understand this promise, this commandment of Deuteronomy 8 in the light of the land of abundance. And yet Moses did not point to the physical food for a satisfied and a meaningful life. He pointed to the spiritual food, the Word of God. God's Word is the food that will satisfy our hungry souls. Question is then, therefore, have you been feasting? I'm not asking you whether have you been eating, but have you been feasting on the Bible? When it comes to reading and studying the Bible, when it comes to feasting on the Word of God, I suspect that many of us have removed the E and we are now fasting. We have now deprived of ourselves of the abundance of God's Word. One of the things which I have started doing during this COVID-19 situation is that I have started to read physical books again. And one day I was reading this 800 pages book on the history of Jerusalem. And then I said, look, why am I spending time reading these 800 books on the secular history of Jerusalem when I can actually read the spiritual history of Jerusalem from the Bible? And so I did a crazy thing. I started reading a study Bible. And I said, look, I'm going to feast on spiritual food, the Bible, and a study Bible. I think this is crazy, right? Reading a study Bible or normal reading. But that raises this question. What, when it comes to the Word of God, what is it that you are feasting on, not fasting from? As parents, we make our children have their meals. And as parents, we give to our children food that will give them nourishment, that they need to make them strong and healthy. And our purpose is very simple. We want our children to grow up strong and healthy. And we don't want them to fall sick. But this care and concern for physical food for our children doesn't seem to apply to ourselves, because sometimes we gobble up the junk food of this world. We are not careful to eat good spiritual food that will make sure that we ourselves will grow strong and healthy. So the first thing about Jesus being the bread of life, ask the question, what have you been feasting upon all this time? The second thing about Jesus being the bread of life is not just to know God's word, but to know and follow God's will. Because God's word will lead us to God's will. We'll turn to John chapter 4, verse 32. John chapter 4, verse 32. And this is what Jesus, we read from John 4, 32. But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him food?" "My food," Jesus said, "is to do the will of him who sent me and finish his work." Jesus reminds us from as early as John chapter 4. In fact, I've said earlier that John chapter 6 is about food. But actually, Jesus has begun talking about food in John chapter 4 already. He's talking about food and water in his encounter with the Samaritan woman. And now he focuses on food. And he's talking about what makes for a satisfying life, a meaningful life. And basically what Jesus is saying is this: to have a meaningful life, we must know God's will and we must do God's will. But that really begs us the question: what is God's will and how to know God's will? In John chapter 6, verse 39, Jesus take up this motif of food one more time by focusing on God's will. In John 6, 39, he says this: "And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose none of all those he has given me, but to raise them up on the last day." In verse 40, "For my Father's will is that everyone who looks to the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I will raise them up in the last day." To eat Jesus as bread of life is to believe in him. And Jesus says that when we eat of him as the bread of life, when we believe in him, we have eternal life. And if this is what we have done, we have now begun to do God's will. Because Jesus says that it is God's will that we believe in him. And so therefore, as we eat of Jesus as the bread of life, as we feast on the word of God, we begin to know God's will. And we begin to follow and do God's will. As we understand what Jesus meant when he says he is the bread of life, we need to ask a practical question. Is there something God wants you to do, but you have not carried out? You know what God's will is because he has already told you what he wants you to do. Maybe it is through the word of God. Maybe it is through the wisdom of people telling you what to do. But you have yet to believe and to behave and to carry out what God wants you to do. I remember the hymn that goes like this: "When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. When we do his good will, he abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey." And of course, we know the refrain: trust and obey. For there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust in and to trust and obey. So as a songwriter says this, when we walk with the Lord in the light of His word, we need to understand that when we do that, we will find purpose and meaning in life. Know God's word, do God's will. The first two components, of knowing that Jesus is the bread of life. There is a third function, a third component that we must think about when we think about Jesus as the bread of life. And that is to do God's work. Do God's work. We look at John chapter 4, 32 one more time. In John chapter 4, verse 32, Jesus said to us, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." Then his disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him food?" And Jesus explained what he meant. "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and finish his work." And therefore, Jesus take up the whole motive again, that to do God's, to eat of the food that God has provided is to do the work that has, that God has ordained for us. In John chapter 6, verse 27, Jesus reminds us, "Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give, for on him the Father has placed the seal of approval." My food, Jesus said, is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. As we consider Jesus as the bread of life, as we consider Jesus as our basic rice that sustains us, we need to know that it is the work of God that we must do. And we must finish the work of God that God has given to us. We remember one of Jesus' parables about a rich man who worked very hard, and why he worked so hard. One of the things that we begin to understand about the COVID-19 situation as we get confined at home and we work from home, we begin to question the value of our work and the way in which we do our work, that we actually don't have to go to work to do work for many of us. With modern technology, working from home can be the norm from now on. While the circuit breaker has been on since April, actually my own organization started working from home in mid-March already. And therefore, I have been working from home for more than 2 months already. And it makes me wonder whether I should actually, I need to ever go to work at all. You know, I could just be working from home, from my bedroom, as it were, from now on for the rest of life. Oh, what a terrible thought, you know, not having to get out of the four confines of your bedroom. And so as we look at work and the meaning of work, we're actually looking at the meaning of our own existence. And Jesus' parable tells of a rich man and help us understand why he's working so hard and why we are working so hard. If you look at Luke chapter 12, verse 16, Luke chapter 12, verse 16, Jesus told them a parable. "The ground of a rich man produced a good crop. And this rich man said to himself, What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. And this is what he said. This is what I will do. I'll tear down more barns and bigger ones. And I'll store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night, your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich towards God. And then Jesus says to all of us, his disciples, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, about your body, what you will wear. Life is more than food, and life is more than body, and the body more than clothes. What wisdom for us as we consider the work that we do as compared to the work that we do for God and for a meaning, purposeful life. This is how it would be for anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich towards God. That raises the question of work that we do for God. Are we working hard for God? I believe that we can work hard for God in the profession, in the secular work that we do. I believe that there is purpose in the work that we do if we work for God. Jesus gave us this advice about working hard for God, being rich towards God. In Matthew 6:19, he says this, do not store up for yourself treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourself treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so, as we look at this rich man who has accumulated enough seeds for his life, he has a lot of cash, he has a lot of crops. In those days, crops are equivalent to cash. He has a lot of material wealth, but he lacked that one seed, which is Christ, because he's not working hard to fulfill that last seed. We raise that one question as we look at this rich man. What are you working so hard for? What are you working so hard for? Material wealth is necessary in this world. But are you working for your next world? Are you working hard for the next world? Our life here on earth is perhaps maybe 70, 80, probably 80, 85, because that's roughly the mortality lifespan of Singaporeans today. Is that what we are working hard for? A mere 84 years, accumulating for a mere 84 years, when we should be accumulating wealth for 1,000 years, 100,000 years? No, that's too short. For 1,000,000 years, it's still too short. But for all eternity, Jesus is the bread of life. He is the basic food that we need. And understanding Jesus is the bread of life, this morning I want us to break it into three components. know God's word, do God's will, do God's work. May we be found to be doing this trip as we take Christ and eat Him as the bread of life. The Lord bless you. Back to you, John.